You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back. It is the NFC East mixtape. That is Bear. This is the greatest crossover event ever attempted and successfully landed in the history of mankind. You can hear this podcast in any of four different places. All of SB Nation's homes for NFC East content. That's Blogging the Boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Hogs Haven, and Big Blue View. He is Brandon Lee Gowden of Bleeding Green Nation. I am RJ Ochoa of Blogging the Boys. We are recording this several days in advance, and we are both on some time crunches, so this is going to be an episode, to say the least, BLG.
I love how it was dead quiet until you literally started the show and then Bear started to bark. It's almost like he knew somehow. That's a good way to start the show. RJ, we're on a time crunch, but it's a fun show we have for the listeners today. Longtime listeners of the NFC East will know that we did this activity last year around this time.
You sounded like you were going to lead into it. So what Brandon is talking about is... We're kicking off a bit of a series, if you want to be frank about it. And the reason for that, if we're being fully frank, is we're going to be on a time crunch for the next couple of weeks. You talked, Brandon, about how we're both traveling on our last episode. So we're recording this one and next week's episodes on days that are normally not when we record. So for full context, this episode will not feature any sort of breaking news. We're recording this on Thursday, June 9th, but it will drop on Wednesday, June 15th. So if any major NFC East news happens between now and then, obviously, just make sure to check your local NFC East team site and their podcast network, and they'll obviously have you covered for when the Eagles trade Jalen Hurts for Jimmy Garoppolo. But
also, real quick, I should probably note, RJ, that as of June 9th, there is not a work stoppage at Vox Media. So we're recording this before, and hopefully, as we're recording this on June 9th, we don't get to that point. Hopefully, a new deal is reached and we can continue to provide great content here. But that's some additional context that should probably be said. And if you want to help prevent that from happening, you can reach out to RJ and I on social media. I'm at Brandon Gowden on Twitter and Instagram, and RJ Ochoa is on those platforms with his name as well, if you want to reach out to us to help support us and make sure there isn't a work stoppage.
Yeah, potential work stoppage, hypothetical work stoppage, would begin 2 days prior to this episode dropping. So we really don't know what what next week, or rather today, has in store for us and you. But, you know, it is just a you know, we want to get episodes out. We love content. We love making content. We love our jobs, as Brandon mentioned, which is why we're hustling and bustling to get this thing done before all the traveling happens. So, Brandon, with that being said, are we ready to finally begin after kind of dancing around the subject for almost 3 minutes?
So people already know it anyway, because it's in the title / headline, whatever platform you're watching this on, YouTube or the podcast. It is the NFC East most underrated. So we're going to go team by team. And last year we did offense, defense, and a legacy pick. I don't really feel like it makes sense to go legacy again, because we're probably just going to repeat some of our answers. I would think we would. So if you want to go back and look through last year's show, you really can if you care about that. But we're going to do offense, defense for each team. And then at the end, just really quickly, want to touch on the division's most underrated head coach, GM, and then assistant coach / coordinator. So why don't we start off, RJ, as we usually do, with the reigning NFC East champs, but then lost in the first round in very embarrassing fashion, the Cowboys, who will certainly not repeat in 2022. Who is their most underrated player? Why don't you go first with the Cowboys this time, since I stole your thunder on the question, the truth serum episode.
So the most underrated offensive player, obviously, is where we're starting. I think we'll keep that order for all four: offense, defense, and then kind of round out the division as a whole. It's difficult to be underrated as a Dallas Cowboy in general. I've said that for many years. It's something, though, that the truly elite achieve, like Tony Romo. And you have to, like, earn your stripes to become underrated as a member of the Dallas Cowboys. I have a few nominees that I whittled it down to in my mind. First was Michael Gallup, but I understand that he's come back from injury and people are kind of, like, hard-pressed to, like, strongly evaluate him in any sense. I do think that we're going to hear a lot of, like, fantasy takes about Michael Gallup. People are going to be like, oh, you can stash Michael Gallup because he's not going to be whatever. I think you can make an argument that Dak Prescott's underrated. And this is going to be a common theme for me for this episode. Underrated means underrated. It doesn't mean like they're actually really good. It means they're underrated. Right. So if somebody believes that somebody is trash and they're not trash, then they're underrated. And so Dak gets a lot of heat. But some of that is just the nature of being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. I think you could make a weak argument that Zeke Elliott has become somewhat underrated because people have like gone to a point of over-criticism with him. But, you know,
the classic Bill Simmons, so overrated, he's underrated.
Right. Tony Pollard, I think, would be like a Vogue answer. People would say like this week that we're recording this, Mina Kimes went on NFL Live and talked about how the Cowboys need to use him more and, you know, how he is the better back on the team. And all that is true. But I do think that's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit low hanging fruit for the purposes of this example. It's a great answer. But I will say Terrence Steele, their starting right tackle. I think he is a very average NFL right tackle. And I think that that's super impressive given that he obviously started as an undrafted free agent 2 years ago. And he is really the reason that they moved on from Lyle Collins. I mean, because of their belief in him, he's grinded his way to this point. And I think, unlike Tony Pollard and everybody else, like, I think your average NFL fan doesn't know his name. And given that he's an average NFL starter, I think that's impressive. So he's my answer.
I thought about including Terrence Steele, but I felt like it was bad vibes in the offseason of the Cowboys maybe overestimating him. Like, they might be overrating him a little bit because they cut Lyle Collins and it's like the offensive line makeup and everything. So I didn't end up going with him. Gallup I considered as well, but he's the NFL's 24th highest paid receiver annually now. And I don't think,
he hasn't played it down with those circumstances and that context, but I think that's all I would say.
Part of it. It's like, so again, to your point about in terms of like, it's not about they suck or whatever. It's about like for overrated, I guess. So more so it's about the perspective, like, and some guys I think are underrated nationally, but might not be by the Cowboys fan base or
right.
So it's all about perspective too. I'm coming at it still from like more, I am going with the low hanging fruit here. I'm going to go with Tony Pollard because he's the correct answer just from like the Cowboys' own perspective. Like they are underrating him. Clearly it's ridiculous that Zeke is getting the amount of touches that he is over him. When you consider Tony Pollard second in PFF rushing grade last year, fourth in yards after contact per rush attempt, he's 20th in receiving grade among running backs. And if you want to compare those categories to Zeke, like, Pollard is way ahead.
It's not close.
Zeke is 21st in rushing grade, 43rd in yards after contact per rushing attempt, and 40th in receiving grade. Also, if you want to argue like pass protection, you would think Zeke might be better, you know, as a bigger guy. Pollard actually was 37th in PFF's pass protection grade, and Zeke was 53rd. So he was worse in literally every possible category. It doesn't make sense to me. I think some guys, in fairness to the Cowboys, I don't know this is the case. I don't know this like applies here, but as a general concept, I think there are players who are better in a contributing role as a role player. And they, just because they do well there doesn't mean they can handle the volume. Like, not all efficiency guys can handle massive volume. And obviously Zeke has demonstrated to that to some point, but I still think they're being really dumb and they should be playing Tony Pollard more often.
The only thing you said that I would disagree with is you said that the team is underrating Tony Pollard. I don't think that's true at all. I think the team is fully aware of how skilled and capable Tony Pollard is. I think they just prefer this. You know what I mean? So like, I think that's almost giving them too much credit to say that they are underrating Tony Pollard. I think they're properly rating him in their assessments of their talent pool, but they just would rather, they're Frank Sinatra-ing this thing. They want to do it this way. They want to win this way. This is the Dallas Cowboys where they want to be like Emmitt Smith in the 90s with the big offensive line up front, the Great Wall of Dallas. Like, that's how they want to play and win football games. Tony Pollard, whatever. Defensively, I think my answer will surprise some Dallas Cowboys fans, but you can go first.
I'm going to take Jaron Kearse.
You're all about the low-hanging fruit. Yum, yum, yum.
I mean, I don't know who else I was really going to go with here. No one else jumped out to me in a super big way. He was PFF's third highest graded Cowboys defender. He only had a 77.5 pass rating allowed last year with two interceptions, 10 passes defensed. He signed for 2 years, $10 million, $5 million guaranteed. That's like a pretty reasonable contract. It's the 24th highest annual value. But when you consider like this offseason where safeties got big money, like Honey Badger got big money, Marcus Williams obviously got top of the market contract, Justin Reed broke the bank with the Chiefs, and then even someone like Marcus May coming off a down season got some decent money with the Saints as well, in addition to the Honey Badger. So for an offseason where all these guys are getting kind of overpaid or big money, like the Cowboys re-signed Jaron Kearse at like a pretty reasonable rate, and I think just based on the market and everything, I think he's kind of underrated.
It's a different argument, but I'm so terrified of what he represents, because he represents to the Cowboys front office like, we can do it. We can look under the rocks and we can find these these players that nobody's evaluating, and we can turn them into the superstars. Yeah, maybe you can, and that did happen. They had a lot of players that kind of had some massive returns on investment for them in 2021, but the likelihood of that repeating in 2022 is extremely low. Jaron Kearse was like the name. I don't know how well you monitored this situation, but like, it seemed like he was going to leave. The Carolina Panthers were interested in him, and it really felt like it was going to just be another one that got away. But the Cowboys did manage to get him back, and to your point, on a two-year deal, so a little bit of security there. He is, I don't think this is an exaggeration, the best safety the Cowboys have had since Roy Williams, who is...
That was another part of it for me. For like a position that the Cowboys has plagued the Cowboys for so long, I think that factored in.
Yeah, Roy Williams would be a different legacy answer. Like, there's like legacy players that like, were actually really good, but the end was really bad. So people just assume they were that bad player, for the entire duration of their career. But so that's a fine answer. I mean, and really, there's not a lot of opportunities to give Jaron Kearse as an answer for, a question like this. I mean, obviously he's only played for the team for 1 year, but a journeyman, NFL journeyman before, kind of having a solid spot. Shout out to Dan Quinn, obviously, for getting the best out of him. Speaking of journeyman, this is a very different question, but did you see the tweet going around when Ryan Fitzpatrick retired? I don't know who tweeted this, but I just saw it a few times. Somebody tweeted like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is arguably the best backup quarterback in NFL history, which is a point I think we both disagree with. But they said, should he go into the Hall of Fame for that? And it was...
No,
I know, it was really, really funny. But anyway,
that's not even true. Like, he wasn't even a backup. He was a starter for like multiple stints. He wasn't like pure backup all the time who happened to just get in. Like, he was a starter in Buffalo, and he was a starter with the Jets, and he was a starter in Miami, and then he was a starter in Washington. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
I know. Like I said, I don't know how you could even qualify who the greatest backup is. Like, because it's like
it's Nick Foles.
I mean, who had the greatest backup moment? Obviously, Nick Foles answers that. Yeah. Anyway, my answer for this is somebody who, again, kind of like was so like, I don't think he was ever overrated. I think he became like a punching bag, and he sort of represents like, anytime you have a problem with the Cowboys defense, you scream this dude's name. Anthony Brown. Trayvon Diggs had all the interceptions last year, and good for him, and he's awesome. Best corner on the team. Obviously, no, not taking any digs at Diggs. But I do think that Anthony Brown, like, it's kind of one of those things that like, anything good that happens to the Cowboys defense gets attributed to other people, and anything bad, it's always like, well, Anthony Brown sucks. And he had, kind of like Connor Williams had a horrible number of penalties last year, Anthony Brown had the really bad game on Thanksgiving against the Raiders. And when you have a bad game in a big moment like that, people just remember that forever. I want you to guess, Brandon, where Anthony Brown ranked as far as PFF's defensive grades, specifically defensive grades.
At cornerback, all cornerbacks, and this is like out of players who've at least played 20% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to guess he was like 34th.
You were a little too generous. He was 40th. Okay. But do you know who was 39th?
No.
Patrick Surtain.
Okay.
So like, again, I'm not trying to like really,
the cornerback that all the Cowboys fans wanted.
Right, but that's my point. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be like, oh, the Cowboys basically got Patrick Surtain. They really killed the 2021 draft. But like, my point is like, he is so much better than people tend to give him credit for. And I think that should be said. Marlon Humphrey was 41st. I mean, again, this is one very poor way of looking at this, and I'm using it specifically to kind of prove my point. But I think when you look at now Cowboys defenders, like Micah Parsons gets all the love. DeMarcus Lawrence, there's this like camp of like that loves him, camp that hates him. I think even Leighton Vander still gets some pub. Jayron Kearse now has a hive. Dorrance Armstrong even has a hive. Like, the Cowboys defensive tackles are starting to get some love. Like, Neville Gallimore, Osa Digizua played really well last year. People are really excited about John Ridgeway. So, like, by default, to me, the only dude who, like, doesn't have anybody that likes him is Anthony Brown. And I think he's a fine player. So I think the math sort of makes him the most underrated in my mind. So congratulations to him. He, though, had not a great corner number in 30. But you know, that's a fine corner number. Like, we both agree, like, jersey number analytics and whatnot, but switched this offseason to 3. Not a fan.
Terrible.
I hate this new world, dude. It's so stupid.
It's really bad. Zach Pascal's wearing 3 for the Eagles, and it's dumb. It's really dumb.
It's really, like, Anthony Brown would be such a good, like, 33 or, like, you know. You know what I miss?
30,
I miss
31.
I missed the 40s on, like, I loved Terrence Newman in 41. Like, that was such a great, you know, I mean, 40s are not better than 20s, don't get me wrong, for corners, but like, in the right circumstances, they can work.
I'd rather see a safety in 41 than a corner.
It's fine. I mean, whatever. Terrence Newman is an exception, but so those are our most underrated Dallas Cowboys. Are you ready for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Last thing I want to say is Dorrance Armstrong in his hive is Stephen Jones. Didn't he compare?
Randy
Gregory's production. Yeah,
he literally looked at like I will fully acknowledge that, like, using a PFF defensive grade is not exactly like a brilliant thing. But Stephen Jones, that it was like, well, they basically had the same number of sacks last year. It's like, Stephen, what are you doing, dude? Like, but Jerry has gone on the radio many times in the last few years and hyped up Dorrance Armstrong. So it is a Jones thing to hype up Dorrance Armstrong. Are we ready for I was going to spell Eagles, but I can't remember who I picked last year. I don't know if you went and looked, but I think I know. I think that I picked Miles Sanders last year.
I think you did.
I feel like that was a fine choice, but that's not my choice this year. I think I'm going to shock you. Okay.
Okay.
Ready for this? And I think I'm going to shock the BGN radio listeners.
Wow. You picked Jalen Hurts, didn't you?
I love you all. Let me be very clear, BGN radio. I think your sports team is the scum of the earth, and I wish you nothing but, like, sports peril. But I wish you health, wealth, and happiness in every other aspect of life. That being said, I know that I upset a lot of people when I talked about him on the SB Nation NFL show. Everybody go listen to that. Subscribe, leave a rating, write a review.
Oh, A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown. I think he's underrated the most by, like, Eagles haters. And I don't think that that is just limited to Dallas Cowboys fans. But I maintain that I think every team that trade – that's why, like, this is such an interesting situation. I think every team that traded for a wide receiver this offseason lost that trade, except for the Cleveland Browns because – well, the Dallas Cowboys were on the other end of that. But I think, you know, I'm not saying Treylon Burks is a better receiver than A.J. Brown, but obviously I would rather, like, go down that path, assuming Treylon Burks develops into a star wide receiver. Granted, a big assumption.
Big assumption.
Right. So that being said, I think A.J. Brown is – I forget the stat that Michael Kiss, shout out to BGN Radio legend, used to cite every Monday on Monday Football Monday. But, like, A.J. Brown might be the most, like, aggressive catcher of the ball in the NFL. And I don't think that we're factoring that enough into, like, how much better he can make Jalen Hurts. And I think he's played for the Titans, low market team, not on a ton of, like, nationally televised games. He's a big fantasy player, and so, like, that hive knows of him. But he doesn't have the same, like, pub, and I'm not putting him on this level, but as, like, Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill. And so he doesn't get the same sort of conversations generated about him. So I think A.J. Brown might be the most underrated.
He hasn't had the multiple thousand-yard seasons, and as I've talked about a lot, you know, that's a result of the Titans having literally one of the run-heaviest offenses in the league, as they should, because they have the best running back and Derrick Henry, or at least one of the top two running backs.
Good thing the Eagles love to pass the ball, then.
Well, I mean, I do think they're going to pass more than they did last year, at least at the end of the year. I mean, that's what they want to be. Like, that's not a question. Obviously, they went – like, their run-heaviness last year was not the norm for the organization, and they want to get back to passing. And what is a way to do that? Well, get some better receivers and see if you actually can do that more often. It's not going to be probably as much as it was early in the year. They're not going to be like a top five passing team in terms of volume, but they're certainly going to be somewhere above 32nd where they were last year in the end. So I respect the A.J. Brown answer, but I am using that to actually go with my most underrated pick, which is a guy that I love maybe way too much, and it's Devontae Smith, because I think all eyes are on A.J. Brown.
Friend of the Explanation NFL show.
But, like, it's like, okay, they got, yes, he is. They got A.J. Brown now, and everyone's talking about him so much, and, like, oh, he's definitely, you know, wide receiver one here. And like, I get why you would rank him above Devontae Smith because there's more proven production there. But I just think Devontae Smith is underrated and by the Eagles, first of all, because there were 38 players who had more targets than him last year, and that's ridiculous. And I think Devontae Smith, and it's not just this, but he looked really good in his first OTA practice. And whereas him and Jalen Hurts are really like on the same page, AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts weren't as much, even though they're buddies. And by the way, you overrate this way so much. Like it would be the first time in NFL history that a team would break up players who were close. And it's not even like AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts are like lifelong friends. They met in like college.
You are the king of those kind of storylines. And so like,
everyone made such a big deal when the Eagles traded Jordan Matthews. Like, oh, it's Carson Wentz's best friend. I remember it was so dumb. I remember reporters.
Yeah, look how that worked out with Carson Wentz. I mean,
yeah, look,
that
yeah, look
was
how
the
it worked out. He
that was
went
the first
on
thread.
An MVP tear, and the Eagles won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, and like, then how did it go after that?
Big deal out of that. I mean, okay, it didn't crumble because Jordan Matthews wasn't there. They brought Jordan Matthews back years after that, and it didn't get any better.
Separate NFL subject, I'm very curious to see if the Derek Carr, Devontae Adams thing works. Like, we've kind of seen it already with Tua and Jalen Waddle, but, like, if the Derek Carr, that's the biggest, like, example of it.
And
if
they
it
actually
works,
played together on, like,
right.
Brown and Hurts.
But,
yeah.
But, like, Tua and Jalen Waddle were just, like, teammates. But, like, Derek Carr and Devontae Adams are, like, best friends, or, you know, or at least chummy. And so, like, if that works, I do think it will lead to more of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just because that's the way the NFL works. But continue.
And Jamar Chase and Burrow, too.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's Devontae. I really think I think he could have a better season than A.J. Brown. And that's not because it's A.J. Brown's bad or anything. I just think Devontae is being slept on a little bit. I think he's looked at the 1B or the 2 to A.J. Brown's either 1A or number 1. So I think he's being a little bit underrated.
Don't buy it, but whatever. Who is the, like, the comp for this situation where, like, the other wide receiver was, like, being overshadowed and not talked about enough, and then he kind of blew up? I have what I think might be the answer, which is, it's ironic, like, if you consider, like, who the players are that are involved in, like, the recent history of them. Do you want to hear my answer?
Yeah.
I think that Devontae Smith is the Calvin Ridley to A.J. Brown's Julio Jones, which is ironic given A.J. Brown's most recent, like, you know, wingman, so to speak.
And the Eagles wanting to trade for Calvin Ridley.
Right. And that Julio, I actually mentioned the Julio Jones not catch in the divisional round on last week's episode. And so, I mean, Calvin Ridley's rookie year, remember, was like, oh, well, AJ, you know, Julio's still going to be Julio. And like Calvin Ridley, but like Calvin Ridley, like, blew up offensively. I think another comp, and this would make you feel better, although also make you feel pain, is Devontae, and he's not a rookie, but he could be the Justin Jefferson to AJ Brown's Adam Thielen.
That is the exact example I was thinking of. It's obviously a different situation,
right?
Draft and not, you know, it's not apples to apples, but that is the scenario I was thinking of, because Thielen has basically been underrated, right? Because Jefferson came in and he got all the numbers and everything, but Thielen's still really, really good. So
that
yeah.
makes Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins. Perfect. Defensive side of the ball. You can go first because I went first last.
There's multiple names. This was a tough pick. There are multiple names I considered here. I considered a Marcus Epps. I just think it's too soon to put him in there. I think he's being a little bit underrated because everyone thinks safety is a big need for the Eagles. And I agree that it is, but I think it's possible that he could be an okay starter. I don't think he's hopeless. TJ Edwards is a really good linebacker, and the Eagles season turnaround last year. Also, everyone talks about how, you know, they shifted from pass to run, and that helped, and it did. But also defensively, putting TJ Edwards in there and getting Eric Wilson out, who they ended up cutting, made a big difference for the defense. That was a really big change. But I still think he has limitations in coverage, and I don't know if he's going to be around for the long term. So I think he kind of is somewhat properly rated, at least for the Eagles perspective, Eagles fan perspective. Avante Maddox was actually 9th on PFF's list of the best slot corners in the NFL. So I think you could throw him in the mix, although he got a contract extension that kind of makes him like he's being paid commensurately.
I think there's an N in there. Commensurately.
He's getting paid what he's worth is the point. I have Hassan Reddick.
There's an N.
Because I think Hassan Reddick has been underrated from a standpoint of people point. Well, like, he was the first domino for the Eagles offseason, but like, people are more hyped about AJ Brown and Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean. I almost think Reddick gets a little like forgotten from that standpoint.
There's a difference between forgotten and underrated, though.
Okay. Well, I think there's a common thread, and I just don't think he's getting a ton of hype. I think he's a little underrated. Could he be the best edge rusher in the NFC East this year?
No.
Why?
No,
Why?
Because Micah Parsons and Chase Young exist.
Why couldn't he be better than them? Four and players Kayvon, have more sacks.
I would even throw
Kayvon
Thibodeau ahead of him. Like
four players have more sacks than him in the past 2 years.
Yeah, but that's like, think about how different the NFL was 2 years ago. Like, I mean, you know, how much, I don't know how much of his sack totals come 2 years ago. Let's see. So in 2020, he had
two really big years the past two seasons.
And a half sacks. I mean,
which coincided with him finally moving from linebacker, like off-ball linebacker, to edge rusher. And I will say, like, 8 forced fumbles in the past 2 years, too. Like, these are high-quality sacks. It's not like he's just, like, padding the stat sheet here. He is, like, being really disruptive and making big impact plays. So I think he's kind of underrated. I think he could be – I think there's a world where he is the Eagles' best addition they made this offseason. And I don't think a lot of people are thinking that right now, because I think they're thinking, again, more along the lines of, like, A.J. Brown or maybe even Jordan Davis or Nakobe Dean.
So just looking at last year, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, you know, nitpick. But so he started off very strong, 1.5 sacks in each of the first 3 games, and then none against the Cowboys, incidentally, 2 against the Eagles, ironically, registered a sack on November 21st against Washington when they lost the Ron Rivera Bowl. And then over the final 5 games of the year that he played, because he did not play in New Orleans, he had half a sack.
And the Panthers are really bad, and they weren't getting opportunities to rush the passer because they were down all the time. Their offense sucked.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying, like, he sucks, like, terrible addition. I'm just saying, like, let's relax, like, saying he could be the best edge rusher in the NFC East. That's
he
all
could
I'm saying.
Be.
Well, yeah, but so could Dorrance Armstrong then, like, if we're, like, throwing out those sorts of, like, you know, could-be umbrellas. But I understand your point that people are kind of, like, more excited about other things. And isn't Hassan Reddick wearing a stupid number?
He's wearing 7. Yeah, I don't love it.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. Terrible. Stupid. Wrong. Ugh.
It's what he wore at Temple, to be fair.
I don't care.
It's not like coming out of nowhere. Well, it's fine. I'm just giving the context.
It's
but
stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like it. He should have worn 58 because Trent Cole used to wear 58, and that would be good.
Yeah, that's a great number for that situation. But my answer is also another stupid number. I don't know if that gives it away. But again, I think this is always an interesting episode. I say always, like, we've done it 100 times. But because, like, we're coming from two different perspectives, obviously, right? Like, I'm more, like, national perspective when it comes to the Eagles, certainly, like, divisional perspective. But, like, each team's fan base over and underrates players very differently than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And so that being said, I do think that this might be an answer. People like, what? Like, well, he's probably rated. To be very clear, he had an elite number his first season with the Eagles, but changed it, which was a mistake. Darius Slay, I think he is underrated. I think he's one of the better, I wouldn't say best, but better corners in the NFL. Maybe, like, you know, if I have to make a, I haven't made a list, but if I had to make a list, like, I think he probably cracks my top 10. I mentioned PFF defensive grades, which, again, is not the, like, best measurement in the world, but do you know where he finished? You probably do. Like, you probably written about this
among cornerbacks. Was he, like, I don't know, third?
He was very close. He was actually not the highest NFC East corner. It was not Trayvon Diggs. Kendall Fuller was third. Mm. But Darius Slay was fourth. I mean, I think, and again, sometimes, like I mentioned, legacy players, like, people only remember the end. I think there's so many people, not Eagles fans, but who only remember 2020 and who are like, oh, the Eagles traded for Darius Slay and, like, gave him this new contract. Like, oh, it's terrible. Didn't even work out. Like, he was pretty solid last year. And, you know, kind of, like, put the spotlight on Teddy Bridgewater, which I really appreciated, because everybody thinks Teddy is just, like, perfect and infallible. But I don't have, like, a problem with Teddy, to be clear. I just, you know, let's be objective. But Darius Slay is my answer. I think he's underrated. I think he's reached that point of, like, you know, kind of, like, living in the shadow, so to speak.
I had him, I think, as my most overrated defender last year. He definitely had a way better year in 2021 than he did in 2020. Pro Bowl player. I do think that was boosted a little bit by some, like, I mean, he was really good, don't get me wrong, but, like, he was boosted a little bit. Like, the Denver game was weird. The return that he had was, like, a little weird, and not like a, like, that's not like a sustainable play, right? Like, that's not just something that, like, oh wow, that's only he can do that. Like, it was kind of just like a weird play, and he happened to make it, so he gets the credit and the, you know, adulation, he gets the whatever honors for that. But yeah, it's fine. I'm not gonna, like, say you're totally wrong. I get where you're coming from with it. I wouldn't pick it. You wouldn't be using not in my consideration, but I understand what you're arguing.
He could lead the NFL in interceptions next year. That's the Hassan Reddick logic,
I would not say that.
Okay. You wanna go Washington or New York first?
Let's go with Washington. We'll go in order. We're still with the division. You don't wanna take a break here?
Let's take a break for the podcast audience. But the YouTube audience, we're not going anywhere. Ready? Break in 3, 2, 1.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Benny, welcome back.
Wow.
You told me that you carved something out of wood during the break. What was it?
It was the BGN logo that I have behind me.
Nice.
You can't see it. People, I mean, if you talk, I'll go get it. Why don't you start with Washington's most underrated player in offense?
Are you going to go get it while I do that? Well, but then you wouldn't hear my assessment.
I mean, it's only like right behind me. I'm going to be able to just kind of roll back in my roll chair and get it.
Oh, okay. By the way, while you start to roll, I saw this thing on, I think, Reddit about somebody who removed the wheels from their chair and fixed, like, took the like chair wheels off and put rollerblade wheels on their chair. So what I was saying while your headphones were off was I saw somebody who took the wheels off their chair and put rollerblade wheels on them. Maybe you should do that. But that looks pretty cool. That's what you whittled or carved?
Yeah, I did this by myself. It definitely wasn't my friend Josh.
Shout out to Josh. If your name was Drake, you could be Drake and Josh, but yeah, it's not.
Or Josh and Drake.
That's not what the name of the show was. But anyway, these last two are tough, and so that we won't need to spend as much time on them. But like, it's difficult to be underrated when you're really, really, really bad. I think we both probably agree the answer is Terry McLaurin, like if we're being like super duper fair. But that's,
I think he's properly rated though. I think people realize he's
maybe
really
he's
good.
Become properly rated. But I mean, I cannot wait till we do overrated because Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, overrated's more fun.
Come on down. Look, this is going to upset you, all right? It's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, like, I knew you were going to do this. Dude,
because people, like, again, underrated means underrated. It doesn't mean, like, you're actually good. It just means you are, like, underrated. And people think he is, like, the worst quarterback in the NFL. And I don't believe that. I actually think the Colts downgraded as far as, like, quarterback talent is, you know, concerned. Obviously, as far as personality and leadership, they didn't. But I think Carson Wentz is one of the most talented players that has been playing that position for this team since Kirk Cousins.
I suspected you were going to do this because it's a good troll as well. I mean, I agree that he is. You couldn't put him in overrated because who's doing that? Who was? I mean, Washington's overrated. I think. Yeah, it's. I get it. He was.
Objectively, you know, it's fair. It's not like ridiculous to say that he, you know, is underrated at this point, especially for like the way like online talks about him.
How he finished last year wasn't 100% reflective of his entire season. He was defined by that moment because it was really bad and it matters. It weighs more than the rest of the season does. He came up incredibly short in a huge spot. So I'm not like the spirit of all that to me leads me to not pick him because it's like, I know he might be getting a little too much criticism, but he doesn't deserve benefit of the doubt is how I would put it. I went with Charles Leno because it's like a boring pick, whatever. Who cares really about Charles Leno? But I was looking at some of the grading on him. He was PFF's 12th highest graded offensive tackle last year. He was actually second overall in pass protection. That was a pretty good pickup for Washington. Like, the Bears just cut him. He was their starting left tackle, and they cut him, and they picked him up, and he's been pretty good. And, like, to kind of make this a relevant discussion for this year, I'm interested to see how they do with Andrew Norwell, who once upon a time got a big contract from the Jags, and Trey Turner as well. Like, those are kind of guys who've been established starters in the league that Washington picked up. They might be decent players. Those might be like their Charles Leno for this year. Like, it's picking up these guys who've started before. Yeah, there you go.
Maybe we're just underrating the Washington offseason, like, as a whole, the football part of it, at least. Maybe we are. Like, that's why this exercise is always interesting. I did want to mention this one more time on Carson Wentz. I think Charles Leno is also a logical pick. Last season had, of current NFC East quarterbacks, he had the second highest DVOA relative to quarterbacks specifically. The only one ahead of him, obviously, Dak Prescott, but he was higher than Jalen Hurts, granted by one spot. He was higher than Taylor Heineke. He was higher than Daniel Jones. He was higher than Tua, than Lamar Jackson, than Matt Ryan. I mean, like, again,
Russell,
I think
Wilson?
He actually was, I'm sorry. No, he was one,
like,
two,
right below him.
Four spots below Russell Wilson. It's Russell at 13th, then Mac Jones, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Carson Wentz. So again, like, you shouldn't lean on one statistic, like, and like make your whole point out of it. But like that's my point. Like, he is, like, people act like he is 32 of 32, and he's not. So he's underrated in my mind. Defensively for Washington, I think the answer is probably Montez Sweat. I mean, it's hard. Like, because
they're hard.
This is hard because their whole group kind of like regressed last year. I think you can make an argument that it's maybe Chase Young at this point. Again, in like the world of the literal term of underratedness, because people have like forgotten who he was as a rookie because he got hurt and the team was so bad and all the drama and everything. So, like, you know, I think Montez Sweat's a one answer, but I mean, if you wanted to go Chase Young, I'm totally cool with that as well.
I think it's hard in a, just to argue their defensive line is underrated, because that's one of the most like known things about Washington. People would be like, oh, that's their strongest unit. So from that perspective, but I did write down here, to your point, quote, do you think Chase Young is being a little forgotten coming off his injury? And then
I think he is, because you yourself kind of forgot about him and talking about Hassan Reddick being the best edge rusher in the NFC East.
Well, I mean, I think he could be better than him, but it's possible that Chase Young is better. But here's my question for you. And I was thinking, like, could you see Chase Young having like a TJ Watt impact, like, for the Steelers? You know, not, I don't know if the sack total is that high, but the point being, like, the Steelers were, they made the playoffs last year in part because they had TJ Watt. Like, that's very clear. Like, they don't have TJ Watt, they're not making the playoffs. Like, I could see Chase Young having Washington, I don't know, in the postseason, but like on the bubble at least, just because he's having such a monster season. I don't think that's like likely necessarily. I'm not banking on that to happen, but I think that path for that exists.
I think that's a good comp. I think another one, and I mentioned this on another episode, but like 2018 Khalil Mack, like that offense, you know, like Matt Nagy and everything, like Mitchell Trubisky. I think this Washington team is better than that Bears team, like, overall. I mean, maybe the overall defense isn't as good, but I mean, like, if he can have that superstar TJ Watt, Khalil Mack, Micah Parsons, whatever, like light LITE season, then yeah, like, I think, you know, there's enough around him to also be good enough. I mean, we saw it kind of like find itself after everything got super duper bad last year. But yeah, I think, what a world where Chase Young is underrated. Like, that's, you know, nice little heel turn, face turn, I guess.
He wasn't my actual pick. I just put him as honorable mention. My actual pick was Bobby McCain. Do you know who that is?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, you know.
He only allowed a 65.5 passer rating last year. He had 4 picks, 9 passes defense. And he, in Miami the year before, he only had allowed a 64.3 passer rating. So there's multiple years of him kind of playing good back there. Again, it's not exciting, and that speaks to Washington's roster, that like Charles Leno and Bobby McCain are their most underrated players. But I think that kind of speaks to, and I'm saying speaks to a lot, but that speaks to Washington's like GM. This is like, Washington's never the worst, right? They're never like total, I mean, they're a dumpster fire off the field, but like they quietly make some solid moves to keep them usually like out of being like a top 5 pick kind of team. And like, or like being the, they're not the Jaguars. They're not going to be that, or like the Jets. They're not going to be that bad, because they quietly make these like solid moves like that, that aren't really flashy, but kind of just solid. So yeah, there you go.
We don't have an enormous amount of time left, so
I can run through the Giants really quickly.
Right. I think the Giants answer, it is tough. Like, I mean, I
offense
think,
especially.
I think the answer is probably Sterling Shepard, just because he's the one that I dislike the least as far as like potential right now. I think similar to maybe not Chase Young, but like I think you can make an argument for Daniel Jones because like he gets treated again like this just buffoon, and I don't think that's true either. That's just like the comedy of the NFC East at this point. So I'm fine with any of those answers. I don't think you can make the argument that we've made for several players for Saquon Barkley. I think he's very properly rated. Saquon had
a
quote.
He might be overrated still, honestly.
Yeah, like, well, he had a quote at OTAs like recently that was like, I can't wait to prove everybody wrong. It's like, what do you mean? Like, you've done the proving right now. Like, you're proving everybody. All you've done is prove. Like, and I don't think you're proving anybody wrong. Like, a lot of people actually believed in you, Saquon, at the very beginning. Like, you actually already proved them wrong. But so he's the only one who I think is exempt from this special sort of underrated distinction.
I went with Kenny Galladay, and it doesn't make sense from a contract perspective. He's overrated from that standpoint, but I just think what he was last year I think he's due for positive regression. Like, I think he's going to regress back to a little bit more when he was he was the player that the Giants paid for. And I don't know that he's going to be like amazing, but I think he's going to have a better season, which is not saying much, than he did last year. So, you know, better quarterback play, I'm guessing, with Daniel Jones not being hurt, assuming he's healthy. And then the offensive line should be, you know, again, more respectable than it was last year. So I think it's possible he bounces back. Do I feel like amazing about that? No. But again, there's really no great pick on offense for them. And then defense, I think there's a clear answer. And to me, it's Xavier McKinney, 65.4 pass rating allowed in 2020 as a rookie, and then 72.2 last year. He had 5 picks. He had 10 passes defensed. I know Giants fans really like him a lot. He's not underrated by them, but I think he's one of the more encouraging players on their roster as a whole.
I agree. Again, I think Kayvon Thibodeau has a chance to like be this answer a year from now because the Giants will probably be bad, and I think he could have like a solid season, and so this could be like, you know, and if he does perform well individually, then he will get a lot of like stories written about him and stuff because he's an electrifying personality. But yeah, Xavier McKinney, I mean, kind of the forgotten person in the 2020 draft class. Like, there was a lot of Cowboys fans that wanted him. Yep. So I agree. Shout out to the New York Giants. Head coach. This is
why don't you go first?
So I actually, on the day that we're recording this, Thursday, June 9th, I had an episode of my podcast, Got It, Blog on the Boys, where I talked about, did you see the PFF head coach ranking?
Come on.
Did you see that? Well, I mean, I just make sure. And they had Mike McCarthy 10th, and there were all these like, oh my gosh, oh, McCarthy 10th. I do think, and again, like leaning on the literalness of the word, I think that Mike McCarthy is underrated because I think that people treat him like he is literally the worst coach of all time. Like, any success happens despite him. And I think that people look at the Packers, you know, run of the entire Aaron Rodgers era, and I think this happens with other duos or other pairs, and they only attribute the good things to Aaron Rodgers. But all of the bad things, like Aaron Rodgers is exempt from any sort of bad play or bad decision-making, despite everything we've learned over the last year and a half. But everything bad that happened during that time is attributed specifically to Mike McCarthy. And I think you have to give, like, if we acknowledge the 2020 season for everyone, but for Mike McCarthy, was a little wonky because of Dak Prescott's injury. Tyron Smith basically missed the whole year. Lyle Collins missed the whole year. I mean, his one true season of like authentic who his team is supposed to be is 12-5. I realize there are a lot of, you know, wins against bad teams. I realize they did not have any success in the playoffs. I realize those are important things. But I think relative to how he is regarded, I think he's the most underrated coach in the NFC. I think Ron Rivera is very properly rated. I think Brian Daboll is not really a part of this conversation.
He might be overrated.
Yeah, I agree. But I think Nick Sirianni is also, you know, properly rated. Because the jury's still kind of out on him. Like, we don't really know fully what his impact's going to be.
I can't pick the guy who,
again,
ended the season like they did for the Cowboys.
If you're going to pick him for anything, I think this is the thing. Like, to make him under... Because, like, he is not a bottom third or bottom half coach in the NFL. He's just not. And like, again, that's how people treat him, which is silly. And he is a meme at this point, which is unfortunate. But when you become a meme, you get treated. And that's what Carson Wentz is. And so I think he's in that sort of neighborhood.
It's kind of like the Sean McVay, Kirk Cousins thing for me. And there's difference there. Obviously, McVay is more accomplished. But it's just like, those aren't the guys I want to bet on. I don't care. Like, they can be great.
I think both those guys are underrated in the book of BLG, by the way.
They can objectively be really good in terms of, like, this is a top five person, okay, that's fine, but they could be way better. And there's also things that I just don't want to bet on in there. There's things that I don't feel good about, like believing in this person and McVay being a total coward and Cousins being a total loser in big spots. So I think McCarthy's in that boat for me. Obviously, he is an above average coach if you rank all the coaches, but he's not a guy I want to bet on. I said that last year. I will continue to feel good about that as
those are different points. Like this isn't like, are you confident in him? This is he underrated? And I think he is the most underrated. And again, like, I don't mean to bring this discussion up because it's way too long for any conversation we have, but certainly for the time we have left. But like, there's obviously a lot of Cowboys fans who want Sean Payton. And I don't mean to like just lean on wins and losses and things like that. But Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton have similar resumes, right? Like if you look at them on paper, and people love to be like, well, Mike McCarthy wasted Aaron Rodgers' career. Sean Payton had Drew Brees, you know, and went had below 500 records 3 years in a row. You know what I mean? Like if the NFC East mixtape existed in that time, we would have roasted Sean Payton. You know what I mean? Like we would be sitting, he would have gotten the Sean McVay treatment that, you know, McVay gets from us, even though they just won the Super Bowl. And I don't regret anything we've said about Sean McVay. I think we're, you know, well-founded in that, but like people conveniently forget things or dismiss things with other people. And that doesn't happen to Mike McCarthy. And they make bigger mountains out of maybe not molehills, but smaller hills when it comes to McCarthy. And so I think he's a victim of the meme-ness. So I do think he is the most underrated coach in the NFCs. I don't think you can objectively disagree with that.
I have Sirianni, and of course. I feel like strongly about it? I feel like I might be underrating Sirianni. I think it's what down to, in that I'm kind of just been on the middle for him. I've been leaning more positive generally. I've never really been like, he's a total buffoon. Obviously, there was that stretch at the beginning of last year where I was wondering if he might be one and done because things were really bad for a bit there. But I think it's possible that Sirianni takes a big leap this year and the team takes a big leap. I think there's, again, like just kind of like I said with Chase Young, like there's a path, there's a world where that exists. I don't know that is likely. I do think it's possible that he makes that leap. Right now, he's kind of just in that middle. I'm kind of still wondering, like we said on the Truth Serum podcast, like I wonder where the Eagles think he gives them an edge or all of the areas that he gives them an edge. And I'm still kind of wondering about that. So that's my answer. Whatever. It's a homer pick.
The answer is Mike McCarthy.
Nick Sirianni gave me a fist bump yesterday. Am I allowing that to color my opinion? It's hard to say.
The answer is Mike McCarthy. The answer for GM. Is Howie Roseman. It has to be.
It can't be. No, dude. He's getting so much praise. Eagles are the best offseason. How so is like, that underrated?
If we look at – because, like, it was masterful, and I hate that. Like, I hate to admit that, but, like
– But that's not being underrated. Everyone's agreeing with that.
No, but, like
– It's that, properly rated as a good offseason.
But he is still like not like there are people who look at like Chris Ballard gets more love than Howie Roseman in some circles, which is stupid. And less need because like, oh, the Rams, they spend money on everybody. Like the Rams like are cool and I admire them, but like their philosophy isn't like innovative. It's just like, let's keep all the good players and let's add
let's
more.
Let's not draft
like,
people.
Right. Like I think Howie is the most creative. I mean, the way he finagled the trade for AJ Brown, the way he assured that the Eagles still have two first-round picks next year and even another second-round pick in 2024. I mean, like, I think maybe he's not going to win most overrated on this show, but, like, he has to win something. And so, like, nobody else is underrated. Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones or Will McClay is not underrated. I mean, like, you know, Joe Shane is not in a place where he can be underrated.
I don't agree. I think Shane could be underrated. I think people will, and I think looking forward to spinning this forward a little bit, I think the Giants may be bad this year and people are going to get like, there's going to be heat for the Giants. And does Shane even know what he's doing? And he does. I think the ability to look at this roster and say, we cannot build on this. We need to tear this down more before we go forward. I think that's an underrated thing in GMing, especially because there's a lot of pressure on GMs to win now, especially first time guys like this. So, I picked him. It's not a slight to Howie. I think Howie's had a great offseason. I've said that. I think it's being properly rated. I think Shane is being a little underrated, at least from a national perspective. You've talked about this. You feel like the Giants are for lack of a better word, like a sleeping giant. They're kind of lying in the weeds. And I think you have to give Shane credit for that.
We don't know what that fruit is going to yield. Like, on paper, it looks great, like, to your point. But, like, we've seen the fruit of – and you're maybe looking at this differently than I am, which, like, this is the end of the episode. But, like, I'm more, like, considering the totality of these careers, not, like, where we're at in this particular moment. But, you know,
there's no right or wrong answer. It's a podcast. It's a made-up activity we're doing.
We're short on time, so I'm going to let you – universally pick the most underrated coordinator for the
Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles offensive line coach / run game coordinator. I mean, he should have won assistant coach of the year. Not Dan. Was it Dan Quinn who won it?
Yeah. Dude, yeah, what Dan Quinn's in, like that? Oh my gosh. Like, it's
the Eagles have like one of the Dan worst Quinn offenses in the NFL.
Nah, Dan Quinn might be coming overrated, just like by virtue of, like, you know, the way things go. But fine. Okay. We did it.
Why shouldn't Jeff Stoutland be a head coach? And maybe he doesn't want to be.
Well, I mean, yeah, possible. Like, but why shouldn't like a billion people be head coaches? Like,
well,
that,
why isn't he getting an interview? Like,
I don't know. Maybe he's not ready. Maybe wanted Mike McDaniel more. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think he wants to. And again, it's him being older probably doesn't help because teams want the young guys. But like, if I'm a team, like, I would interview him. He seems pretty good at his job. Eagles offensive line is always really good, and it's not just about the talent. He gets more out of lesser guys. So I would go with him. Look, Jeff Stoutland is a huge reason why the Eagles made the playoffs last year. He might be.
Yeah. So is the fact that a 7th seed existed. So
sure.
Okay. We did it all. Next week, we'll record at a different time and it will be most overrated players. Who do you think is overrated in the NFC East? Let us know. BLG is on Twitter and Instagram at Brandon Gotten. I am on Twitter and Instagram at RJOcha. Brandon, the final 7, shout out to Hassan Reddick, words belong to you.
I wanted to do the random 3 words thing from last show that I didn't get to do.
Okay. Random three words. Okay. Just say 3 random words and
that don't associate with each other. No, they're not like,
right.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say watermelon. I'm going to say charger and I'm going to say trophy.
Enjoy San Diego.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.